Let's go before the Lord. Dear eternal God, our Father, we come to you this morning, God. We thank you and we praise you for what our eyes have seen and our ears have heard, God. But now comes the meat, the substance, God. Speak, Lord. Speak to me, speak through me, God. That they might receive your word with gladness. We honor your name today for who you are. It is in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. If you have your Bibles with you, we're going to take our text from the Gospel of John again, 13th chapter. We're going to go to our text, and then we're going to circle back around to get a context for the text in which we're going to give you, because every sermon should be written in context. That's all right. That's all right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. God, you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You're worthy, oh God. God, we know, we know. Lord, we know that you know. So God, thank you. Glory to your name, God. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. You see, sometimes you got to just take some time. Can't rush through everything. Sometimes you got to let the Spirit of God have his way. We get to a place we want to rush through everything. We don't want to take time to stop and give God praise. And listen, I know that we all got, we're on our clocks. We see, you know, we got things that we need to do. But listen, God is more important than anything that you got to do. Praising God is more important than anything that you could ever do. So sometimes you gotta just take some time to give God praise. Amen, 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 amen. I know some of us like to stay stuck to our agendas, stuck to the bulletin, and that's good. There's some times that God say otherwise, and I want to be obedient unto him. If you have your Bibles, the Gospel of John, 13th chapter. I want to read three verses in your hearing. Beginning at verse number 33, it says, "My children, I'll be with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come." This is key. "A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another." Here it is. "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Let me read verse 35 again to you. Again, he said, "By this, everyone will know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one for another." The first thing that we must identify is, what is this? By this, what does Jesus mean by that? Which is going to take us and circle back around. We have to go back up to verse number 4. And so we're going to work our way from verse number 4 down to this text. Because the this that he's talking about is how Jesus served. And so therefore I have the title of this message is "A Service That Validates Our Love." A service that validates our love. I was charged at the beginning of a class, I took a class. The name of the class is the New Testament Orientation. And really what it is it's an introduction to the New Testament. The second assignment of this class was that we were charged to read the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke. And then based upon our reading and based upon our experiences up until that point, we were to make a 3-minute video introducing Jesus to the world. So quite naturally, I started with our need for Jesus. I started about talking about how the garden experience and how man had failed from grace, and that there was a need for a reconnection with God. Good stuff. I came on down and I talked about his virgin birth, how he was born of a virgin, born of the Holy Ghost, not having a human father. I thought that was important, and I put it in there. I only got 3 minutes. I then went on to talk about how Jesus had performed miracles, which validated who he was. I talked about him being the king of the Jews in Matthew's gospel. I talked about him being a servant of God in Mark's gospel. I talked about the compassion he showed in Luke's gospel. And then I closed it all up nice and neatly with Calvary. I just knew this was going to be 100%. I knew this was a masterpiece. What was I leaving out? When I got the grade, I got a 95. I began to wonder, okay, what did it take for me to get 100? Well, fast forward, 6 weeks later, our final project was to make a second video based upon the first video. Here was the instructions. Based upon what you've learned through this course, show how your view of Jesus has changed over the course of this class. Because they asked us to take a horizontal view of Jesus in the Synoptic Gospel. And what that is, that's laying the gospel side by side and begin to view them and see where they are similar and where they're different. And so again, we had 3 minutes to do this. And it hit me right then and there, because initially when they asked me to do this, I was like, y'all didn't teach me anything different than what I knew about Jesus. I know who he is. But there's one key thing that I left out in my introducing them to Jesus, and that's Jesus as a servant. I never talked about him being a servant. As a matter of fact, did you not know that that was his purpose for coming here to earth? Amen. He said that I did not come to be served, but I came that I might serve and give my life a ransom. How in the world could you leave that out? My final paper, because there was a final video, and then there was a final paper. My final paper, I chose to do it on the Gospel of John. Gospel of John really depicts Jesus as being God himself, God in the flesh. There's the incarnation of God and him meeting human flesh. And understanding the fact that Jesus Christ is fully God, but he's yet fully man. And there's no way humanly possible that we could ever make that connection. That is all God there. The Gospel of John goes throughout the entire gospel proving this fact that Jesus is God all by himself. I was all throughout the gospel, as I wrote my paper, I was all throughout the gospel, all of the I am statements I had in there. I put them in there because they signified who Jesus was and who he is. In the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John, he said, before Abraham was, I am. And listen, that's a divine statement there. This is Jesus actually claiming to be God. When he uses the name I am, it was the name that God was known for in the Old Testament. So he said, before Abraham was, I am. All throughout this gospel, you see nothing but the divinity of Jesus Christ. But here in this 13th chapter, John decides to stop and show Jesus taking off his glory, his status as being God, and serving the disciples. It's here that we see this. Because Jesus tells them that if you want to be great in the kingdom, if you want this greatness and this notoriety, he said that you need to learn how to serve. And I don't know. Maybe everybody's not like me. But I want everything that God has for me. I don't want to leave nothing on the table. If God has it for me, Lord, I want it. And if it means me humbling myself, it means me surrendering myself, it means me taking a lower position to serve, then that's what I'll do. I have no problem with it. Listen, did you not know the pastor is the chief servant in the church? And we see it down there. It's like, we got a whole lot of pastor worship in the body of Christ. And any pastor with any good sense knows that it's not about him, but it's about the body of Christ and how we serve you, how we give to you what God has given to us to give for you. It's an act of service. But that's not it. That's not all of it. Last week we opened up Jesus opens this, talking about how he had loved his disciples until the end. In other words, that his love was not being exhausted. Here's the deal. There's nothing that you can do about me loving you. It's out of your hands. It's out of my hands. God loves me. And I think every now and again, because we do, we spend a lot of time beating ourselves up. Every now and again, you need to look yourself in the mirror and say, God loves me. Because his love is not predicated on how I perform. His love is predicated on him being able, him being love. Because that's what the Bible says, that God is love. God doesn't just love, he is love. He's the epitome of love. And so as a demonstration, listen here, of his love for his disciples, yes, sir. The Bible says that he gets up after reclining for dinner. He gets up and he takes off his outer garment. He ties a towel around his waist. Now, what we need to look at this, we need to look at this from a cultural standpoint. Because whenever you would take your robe or your outer garment off, you were divesting yourself from your status or your position. That's what Jesus was doing. He said, listen, I'm your master, I'm your teacher. But right now, I'm taking it off. And every now and again, you got to take off your position. You got to take off your title. You got to take off your glory. You got to give it unto God that you might be able to serve. One of the greatest reasons why we don't serve like we ought to be, because we think we're better than other folk. We think people need to be serving us. But here it is. The Gospel of John is depicting him as God all throughout the Gospel. But when it gets here, Jesus takes it off. And he gives an example of what servant priesthood looks like. This is a beautiful picture. As a matter of fact, it's almost a picture of Calvary in this text here. Because what we see is that he takes off his outer garment. At Calvary, they took off his garment and nailed him to a cross. But not only does he take off his garment, but he ties a towel around his waist. This is significant. This is key from a cultural standpoint. Because now Jesus is taking on the form of the lowest servant of the house. And as these believers, as these disciples are walking through the dusty roads of Jerusalem, the feet are filthy. They're dirty. They're grimy. But Jesus fills a basin with water. And he takes each disciple, all 12 of them, one by one, and he washes their feet. And as the water, each time that he washes a disciple's feet, gets dirtier and dirtier, he takes this towel and he wipes it, the feet clean. This is a picture of Calvary. Because that's what Calvary did for us. As God began to wash us, Jesus took all of our dirt, all of our filth upon him at Calvary. Because when they nailed him to the cross and the sun refused to shine, God poured out all of our dirt, all of our sin on Jesus. And just like these disciples' feet were cleansed, so are we. We have been cleansed by the power of Jesus Christ, by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so therefore, we can have fellowship with God based upon Jesus serving. That's what this is really about. Jesus serving. You know, one of the greatest verses on Jesus serving comes from Philippians, the second chapter. Paul tells these people at Philippi, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, which tells me that service and a servant attitude is just that. It's an attitude that we have. We must let the mind that Christ have be in us. Listen here. Whom being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In other words, Jesus knew that he knew who he was. He knew that he was God. And he realized that by him claiming God, it was not divesting God or shaming God. Why? Because he was God in the flesh. Listen here. Here's Jesus' decision. He said, but he made himself of no reputation. And took upon him the form of a what? A servant. This word translated, it means a slave. Amen. He took up the form of that. He did what the Father said. He did what pleased the Father. So he took on the form of a slave and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself. And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So just like Jesus washing their feet, the cross was the same representative of him being a servant of the Most High God. Did you not know that if Jesus had not washed their feet, they would have to wash them themselves? And you say, it's no big deal there. And you're right. But what Jesus did at Calvary, no man could do. You couldn't do it for yourself. None of us could have done that for ourselves. All of us were hopelessly lost. And we needed someone who would bridge the gap, who would stand in the gap for us. We needed someone who would take the penalty. of sin for us. Because the penalty of sin was far too much that we could pay. And so because Jesus is a servant, because he served. But also notice that Jesus is not just a servant. He is the master servant. And understand that we must be persistent in our service. Jesus was very persistent in his service. If you read the text, you'll see that Jesus began to wash all of their feet. Listen here. And he also washed Judas's feet. Don't get it twisted. And what that tells us is that you can't pick and choose who you're going to serve. You can't look at a person past and decide, oh, no, we ain't going to serve that person. Jesus had full knowledge of who Judas was. He talked about it all throughout this night. He knew who he was. When he said, I have loved them, he was talking about Judas too. When he washed their feet, Judas was right there as well. But yet Judas would betray him. But he gets to Peter. Oh, rambunctious Peter. Peter, the one always sticking his foot in his mouth. He does it once again. Peter says, Lord, will you wash my feet? And Jesus said, listen, Peter, listen here, calm down. You don't understand what's going on. But you will eventually. You'll understand what's going on. And then Peter has the nerve to say, Lord, you'll never wash my feet. Listen, there's going to be some time when you go to serve that you're going to get some resistance. You're going to get some people that are going to reject and be negative about your service. But we must be persistent like Jesus was persistent with Peter. Don't let other people's negativity about what you're doing for the glory of God stop you from doing what you're doing for God. Don't you let the naysayers stop you from doing what you're doing for God's glory. Because people will hate on you just because you are serving. And the only reason why they're hating on you because you're serving, because they don't want to serve themselves. There are some folk you offend by serving. You ever heard of, she doing too much. I was sharing with a brother the other day. I was just giving them accolades. Said, man, you've been doing an amazing job. You've been doing a wonderful job. You've just been a blessing, so on and so forth. And he looked at me. He said, Pastor, I can't do enough. That was his response to me. This is what we need. People that realize that God, I can't do enough for God. I won't let nobody stop me. I'm going to be persistent. I'm going to keep pushing, even in the face of adversity. Even when Satan tells you it don't make sense. Keep on serving. And that's what Jesus did. He didn't let Peter stop him. But if it was me, I said, the nerve of you to talk to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and tell him what he'll never do. How in the world can you do that? Because Peter had the wrong theology. And Jesus corrects it. He said, listen, he said, if I don't wash you, if I don't wash your feet, then I don't have any part with you. And immediately something must have clicked in Peter's mind. Because Peter just went, Peter go from one extreme to another. He go from, you'll never wash my feet, to wash all of me. He said, Lord, wash all of me. Again, Jesus has to center Peter. He said, listen, those who have been bathed, they don't need to have their entire body washed. It's just the feet that Jesus was concerned about. I was asking myself, why is Jesus concerned about the feet? How does this fit into our life? And it fits in the fact that we are travelers on our way to glory. And even though we have been saved and blood washed, we've been bathed by the word of God, we've been bathed by our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's sometimes we get our feet dirty by the places that we walk, metaphorically, and sometimes literally. In other words, he's saying, there are going to be some times that you're going to sin. And by your constant coming to me and having your feet washed, asking for forgiveness of your sins, you're cleansed by that. This is a metaphor for us. That even in servitude, you're going to sin and you need to have your feet washed. You need to be washed by the Lord Jesus Christ. The same one that cleansed you from the beginning is the same one that is here to wash your feet. It's the same one. This is all done based upon Jesus' statement of his eternal love for them. This is all birthed out of his love for his disciples. But as we get into looking at the text says that we are to do that one to another. We're to love one another enough to serve one another. We're to love the things that God loves. And understand that God loves that homeless person that's out there on the street. God loves that prostitute. God loves that drunkard out there. That love that person that's out there closest to hell. God loves them. And it's through our service. It's through us serving others that God is pleased with. God can see our love by how we serve. Let me ask you this question. When's the last time you served someone? Think about that. When's the last time you've sacrificed for somebody? Take that home with you. Chew on it for a little while. When's the last time you've been a blessing to somebody? When's the last time you loved someone till it cost you something? This is what we're talking about. Jesus surrendered and he took on the form of a servant. This is the lowest job a servant could perform in a household. But yet Jesus does it. Remember, John is presenting him as the king, as God in the flesh. But yet now he's showing him as a servant. And if Jesus served, then what's our problem? If Jesus loved to the point of serving his disciples, as Jesus describes it, after washing all of the disciples' feet, he begins to clarify this whole thing. He said, listen here. It's undeniable. I am your master. I am your rabbi. I'm your teacher. When I ought to be up here, the reality of it is that I'm really down here. I'm really beneath you because in order for me to wipe your feet, I got to be lower than you. I got to bring myself down lower that I might be able to get to your feet. And Jesus has washed all of our feet. Those who are in Christ Jesus, he's washed all of our feet. We have this advocate with the Father that when we sin, we can go to him and ask him to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he does it. But it takes a loving God, a loving Father. We say that we love God. Well, your service validates it. it tells how much you really love God. Just take a look at how well you're serving. How am I serving? That'll tell you how much you really love God. You can talk about all this. I love the Lord. He heard my cry. No, come on. It's backed up by what you do. It's backed up how you serve others, how you serve God. Jesus said, by this, they will know that you are my disciples. If you love one another, if you serve one another. So what's the problem? Jesus closes this out by saying that the reason why I'm doing this, the reason why I'm giving you this is that I'm giving you an example of how you are to live your life. It's this example that Jesus gives us. Jesus is saying that if you can read in my word, you can see in this text, this living word, that I'm willing to humble myself to a place of servitude, then you must be also willing to do so. And I just don't understand how I can be a Christian and I'm not serving. I haven't figured that out yet. I've been praying and asking God, show me how I can be a Christian and I'm not serving in some kind of capacity. What is it? Well, usually it's because we have a convoluted view of ourselves. We don't need to serve. Maybe it's because we've arrived at a certain place. We got certain degrees behind our names and all that kind of stuff. Maybe that's the reason why. I don't know. But I think that there's one thing that I can say with all certainty. The reason why we don't serve, and it's because of pride. It comes down to pride. You see, because when I begin to evaluate, when I begin to think about all that God has done for me, all that he sacrificed for me, for little old me, how can I not serve? How can I not give back to God? That's why it's no problem for me to serve. Because I know that I've been served. God has served my life by giving his life for me. There's not a greater love that anybody could ever give than they lay down their life for a friend. And that's what Christ did for me. And the truth be told, that's what he did for you too. Even if you won't accept it, he still did it. It was love that drove Jesus to serve. It was love that compelled him to surrender to wicked men that they might be able to march him from judgment hall to judgment hall. They conspired, they lied on him. But Jesus never said a mumbling word. He never uttered a word to defend himself. But he went on to Calvary's cross. I know it looked like a man that was carrying the cross up to Calvary, up the Via Dolorosa. But the reality of it was that it was love that was taking that cross up to Calvary. Jesus marched up to Calvary. It was love that allowed Jesus to stretch forth his hands. It was love that took the nails in his hands. It was love that took the spikes in his feet. It was love that took the piercing in his side. It was love that was crucified on Calvary's cross. He came to serve and to give his life as a ransom, and that he did on Calvary's cross. He suffered, bled, and died. Gave up the ghost. And in the process of time, Beg for the forgiveness of those who had crucified him. Didn't hold any grudges. Said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And then he gave up the ghost and he died. He died on that cross. They took him down, put him in a borrowed man's tomb. This is all service. But on the third day, he rose with all power of heaven and earth in his hand. It was the giving of his life. It was a service that he rendered for us. And I don't know about you, but I'm willing to die for him because he died for me. I'm willing to go all the way for him. Because Jesus didn't just talk about loving me. He demonstrated his love for me in that while I was yet a sinner, he died for me. Yeah. He rose victoriously, conquered sin, death, and the grave, and yet sits at the right-hand side of the Father, making intercession for me. He's still praying for us. He's coming back. You see, I'm looking for him, Brother Chestnut. I'm looking for him to crack the sky. I'm looking for that great getting up morning. I'm looking at being with him for eternity. This here ain't got nothing on eternity. I'm looking for glory right now. And I want to hear him say, thou good and faithful servant, well done. Are you looking for a good and faithful servant? Well done. That's what we work for. That's what we live for. Good and faithful servant. Well done. We completed what God has for us. I finished the course. Because this is what God has for us. It's a life of service. That we might be able to win the loss for Christ. Please stand to your feet. The door to the church is open. The door to the church is open. Here's your opportunity. Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Come on, come on, come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Is there another? Is there another? Glory to your name, God. Are you available? Come on, can you say that today? Are you available to God? Can the Lord count on you? Is there another? Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord.
Good morning, Macedonia, to Pastor Minor and to the church family. We have Kimberly Grant Fouché, who is here for reinstatement.
Amen, amen, amen. Hey, how are you? Listen, it's good to have you back. We thank and praise God for you. You believe that the Lord is leading you back?
Yes.
Amen. Are you ready to serve?
Of course.
Amen. Praise God. Listen, that's what God requires. That's what he's asking for us, is that we would be according to his will, live according to his will, and to serve him. Amen? Amen. All right, I'm going to have you go with Reverend Register. He's going to have prayer with you and have you fill out some paperwork. We'll give you the right hand of fellowship the first Sunday, all right? All right, God bless you. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Glory to his name. I know that I've been preaching a lot on our Christian character, our conduct, us loving, us serving. Because in this last days, that is what's going to make a difference. There's a whole lot of stuff in this Bible we could be preaching on, teaching on. But I'm here to make an impact. I believe that preaching needs to make an impact on people's lives. I was having some discussions with a few pastors, and it seems like we've been caught up for so long in the emotionalism of church. If we can get people happy, get them excited, and send them home empty, then they've done their job. Did you not know that there's a lot of pastors that don't want their congregations to grow spiritually? Because you're easily manipulated when you're empty. My job is to fill you, to give you what you need. Listen here, my job is not to beat you up or anything like that. It's to get you fit for heaven. It's to get you fit for service, that you might be able to get somebody else to heaven. And so that's the reason why, even again, I feel like I got to explain this to you guys. You need to understand that I'm not just going on a tangent on my own, but this is what God has given me. And I will continue to do what the Lord has told me to do. I'm going to be persistent in my serving. Amen. That was in the sermon. I don't know if you guys caught it or not. Amen. If all hearts are satisfied, please let us stand. Those who desire prayer, come down to the throne of grace. Father, we come to you today, God. We thank you. We praise you, God. And we're praying right now, God, that your word will not return unto your void, but that it will accomplish that which it set forth. We're praying, God, that we would take your word, that we would use our service as an indicator of our love for you, God. Because love is what love does. And God, we endeavor to be servants of the Most High God. As a matter of fact, that's what we all should be working for. A well done. So God, I pray right now that Lord, all of us would become the servants in which you've called us to. That God, all of us, God, will fulfill whatever capacity that you've given us, that your church might be edified and that the lost might be won for the cause of Christ. God, we ask that you'll bless us as we depart from this place. Lord, we thank you for each and every guest that is with us. We thank you for them. We ask that you'll give them a willingness to come back, maybe. We're also praying, God, for those who are on live stream, God, we ask that you'll touch them, Father. Bless us and we shall be blessed, God. We honor you today, Father. We praise you. Keep us in your care. Walk with us, God. as we endeavor to serve you to the end of the world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Now bless us, give us traveling mercy. And until we meet again in this great place, may you receive the honor and the glory behind our lives, God. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and thank God. Now may the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit, may it rest, rule, and abide with us now, hence, and forevermore. Let every heart sing.